Morning, everyone. We'll commence our time of worship by singing together the hymn number 1 in your hymn book. You'll find it in the page 175. It's a great hymn of praise, reminding us of the greatness of the God we worship and serve. It says, "Immortal, invisible, God only wise, in light inaccessible, hid from our eyes, most blessed, most glorious, the Ancient of Days, Almighty, victorious, Thy great name we praise." And we'll stand as we sing, as the organist leads us, singing it with all of our hearts. Let's stand as we sing. We unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us just look to the Lord, praying for his help and blessing and his presence among us here today. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal Father in heaven, we come before thee today, the one who is immortal, almighty, the one whose great name we praise, the one who is altogether holy, the one who changes not, the one who hastes not, the one who is forever the same. Thou said, "I am the Lord, I change not." And O God, we realize, O God, that thou art holy. And as we come into thy presence, O God, this morning, we realize, O God, that we are sinful, that we have sinned against thee, Lord, in thought and word and deed. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of thee, the holy God of heaven. We realize, O God, we are all as an unclean thing. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Yet, O God, we thank thee today for one who is our Redeemer from sin, one who was without sin, one who came into this world to be our sin-bearer, to deliver us from the penalty of our sin, to deliver us from the guilt of our sin and the power of sin, and one who will one day deliver us from the very presence of sin itself. And Father, we thank that this one is thy beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And Father, we thank thee, Father, for Christ coming to this world out of love and grace toward us. We thank thee, Father, that he came as a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. And Father, we thank thee that he went to the cross for us as our substitute. He bore upon himself the wrath of God that was our due. And Father, we thank thee for the healing and the virtue and the salvation that is found in Christ and in his precious blood that he shed freely for sinners upon the cross. And Father, it is upon redemption ground that we come before thee today to praise thee, to worship thee, and to thank thee for all of thy mercies. And Father, indeed, as we look back over a week that has gone, we thank thee for thy preserving hand upon us and all the provisions of life that thou dost give to us, and for thy grace sufficient for our needs day by day. And Father, we thank thee for ordering our steps and enabling us to gather here in thy house with the people of God today. And Father, we pray for that fresh cleansing in the Savior's blood. Create within us, Lord, that clean heart. Renew, Lord, within us that right spirit. Prepare our hearts this day to meet with thee, to worship thee in spirit and in truth, O God. Father, grant that the thoughts of our heart and the words, O God, of our lips would be acceptable in thy sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Father, we thank thee for all who have gathered with us here today. Bless every head bowed before thee, O God. Bless every family, O God, that is represented. Meet the need of all our homes and lives and our family circles, we pray. We pray, Lord, especially where there is sickness and illness at this time, that thou wilt give help and healing and strength. Where there is sorrow, O God, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt give comfort. And even for those in our families and family circles unsaved, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt speak to them even today, and that thou would unite our family circles in the Lord. Remember, Lord, those unable to gather today because of age and sickness and infirmity, those that are in residential care and in hospital as well, we commit them all to thee, Lord. Bless them. Minister to their needs. And those no longer able to physically come to the house of God, bless them especially and draw near to them, we pray. And Father, we do thank thee for our Sunday school this morning. Remember all the boys and girls that have heard thy word today. Bless each young life, early in life, may they be saved. Grow up to follow thee, to serve thee, to live for thee. Gather other children in to our Sunday school this year. And Lord, bless those who labor in it. May they know the hand of God's blessing upon them. Do remember also the children's work. We thank thee for all the meetings and the week that has gone by, and every boy and girl that has heard thy word. Remember Sister Gillian as she leads this work. Give her help and blessing and grace and strength. And remember the meetings even planned for the week that lies ahead. Again, Lord, we thank thee for tokens for good, even this year already. And Father, we pray that thou wilt bring many in the week that lies ahead and save them by the power and by the grace of God divine. Bless our land today, O God. Remember wherever thy word is faithfully preached, bless every faithful servant of God. Build thy church and extend thy kingdom. We do pray, Lord, today for our missionaries, those that labor here at home and those that labor abroad, Lord, far from home. Minister to them, protect them, and strengthen them, and give them much encouragement in their labors for God. Again, Lord, we do pray for thy persecuted people today, many who cannot gather in freedom and liberty such as us. Bless them, minister to their needs. Protect them, O God, we pray. Use them, Lord, wherever they are, for thine honor and for thy glory. We think especially, Lord, of the land of Ukraine and Israel today. We pray especially for thy people in these lands, that thou would protect them, watch over them, and bless them. And Father, we pray that thou would bless the cause of God and the gospel in these lands. And Father, we do pray, Lord, that thou would be pleased, O God, to intervene in mercy and in grace in these situations, and that thou would draw hearts and lives out after Christ, even in salvation, we pray.
Remember our own land and nation. We pray for our king and the royal family. Have mercy, Lord, upon them. May they know thee meeting their needs at this time. And especially, Lord, we pray that they might come to know the Lord as Savior and for salvation, we pray. Remember, Lord, those that would rule in our land and in our nation, may they also realize their great need of a Savior, their great need of salvation. And may there be that turning in their hearts to the Lord. And those that would seek to promote that which is evil and contrary to thy word, we pray that thou would stay their plans, O God, we ask of thee. And even those in government that would profess the name of the Lord, give them grace and strength to do what is right in the sight of the Lord, we ask of thee. The Father in heaven, we do think especially of the forthcoming mission in Lisbalaw as it would commence this afternoon. We thank thee, Father, for all the visitation this past week, every tract, every invite that has gone out. We pray for that village and the surrounding villages and townlands, O God, that thou wilt create an interest and a hunger, bring many in under the sound of thy word, and visit that whole with salvation, we pray. We thank thee, Father, for the mission this past week in Corrigarry as well. We thank thee for all who did come to hear your word. Do speak on, we pray, and may there be fruit there that will remain even unto salvation. Bless us now, we pray. Close us in, Lord, with yourself. Close out all that is not of thee. And in everything that is said and done in this pulpit today, bring glory and honor unto the name of Christ, in whose name we do pray and do ask all these things. Amen.
Returning again, please, in our hymn book to hymn number 60 in your hymn book, another lovely old hymn reminding us of the greatness of Christ and what Christ is to his own redeemed people. It says, Jesus, thou joy of loving hearts, thou fount of life, thou light of men, from the best bliss that earth imparts, we turn unfilled to thee again. Hymn number 60 in the page 200, standing as we sing. Let's stand as we sing.
Jesus, our joy, our
I'm going to turn this morning in our Bible for scripture reading to Isaiah chapter 53, turning to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, and then turning back to the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah chapter 3. I want to just read one verse from Nehemiah 3, but reading first of all from Isaiah chapter 53, if you'd like to mark both those portions of scripture in your Bible, reading first of all from Isaiah 53, and then turning back to Nehemiah and chapter number 3 and the verse 1. Let us read first of all from Isaiah chapter 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. When we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. But thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And by his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. He shall divide the spoil with the strong. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, made intercession for the transgressors. Then turning back to Nehemiah chapter number 3, and just reading one verse from this chapter, it is the verse number 1. Then Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it, and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it, and the tower of Hananel. Amen. Ending a reading there at verse 1 of that chapter, and we pray God will add his own blessing to this public reading of his eternal and infallible word to all our hearts. At this stage of our meeting, I want to welcome everyone this Lord's Day to God's house. It's good to see each one gathered here with us today. We pray God will richly bless you around God's word. If you're a child of God, may you be strengthened in your faith and drawn closer to the Lord. And if you're here today and you're not saved, our prayer is this day you'll take that step of faith. Put your trust in the Lord. Know the wonderful joy of God's salvation within your heart. We welcome also those who may be joining us online today as well. We pray that the Lord will bless you around God's word today. The announcements for the week are as follows. Do please remember the gospel mission commencing this afternoon at 3:30 in Lisbelow Orange Hall. Kindly granted, that's from today, the 25th of February, through to the Lord's Day, the 10th of March, this day fortnight. The Lord's Day meetings are at 3:30 p.m. every Sunday afternoon, and then the weeknights, Monday to Friday, are at 8 p.m. The meetings are preceded by the half hour of prayer. There's a wee prayer room in at the side. If you're able to join with us for part of that time, we'll be delighted to see you before each meeting. I do pray for the evangelists, the Reverend Laurie Power, Mr. Colin Maxwell, and myself, and there'll be testimonies and special singing each night as well. So do be much in prayer for the meetings. There are still invitations left out there on the table in the porch. We encourage you to take those, give them out to family members and friends and neighbors, and do all you can to pray for the meetings day by day, to attend and to invite and to encourage others in under the sound of God's word. And a special word of thanks to all who helped with the outreach for the mission over this past week and more. Can I say that during the mission, there'll be no Lord's Day evening service here in the church. The session have decided to put that off so that you can give yourself to the mission on the Lord's Day afternoon, and then there'll be no midweek prayer meeting on the Tuesday night as well, so do note those meetings being off just during the 2 weeks of the mission. Do pray for the children's meetings this week as they continue as normal, 6:30 p.m. Tuesday Tresna, Wednesday Lispelaw, Thursday Maguire's Bridge, Friday night here in Bethel. Again, the youth fellowship is off during the mission. Encourage all the young people to come along and to support the mission on Friday night. This coming Friday as well at 8 p.m. is our monthly presbytery meeting in Macrofelt Free Presbyterian Church. Next Lord's Day, the 3rd of March, Sunday School and Bible class, 11 a.m. morning worship service, 12 noon. And that will be followed by the Lord's table, and that is open to all who are saved and walking in fellowship with the Lord. The Lord invites you to remember his death in his own appointed way. And then the mission will continue on next Lord's Day afternoon into the second week, and that will be at 3:30 p.m. Both services next Lord's Day preceded the half hour of prayer, and also being the first Sunday of the month, do please remember it's building fund and property fund offering, and the offering for the month of February came to £643, for which we thank you sincerely in the Lord. The offering from Tuesday night past to the work of Serve, including gift aid, comes to £835.85, for which we thank you sincerely in the Lord. Please also remember the planned baptismal service. That is Thursday, the 25th of April at 8 p.m., and that will be in Omagh Free Presbyterian Church Hall. There's quite a number of indicated an interest to be baptized. Anyone else and are considering this matter and wish to be baptized, you know and love the Lord as Savior, do speak to us about that matter, and we'll be glad to help you with it. Then, as a church, we'd like to express our sincere Christian sympathy to our sister, Mrs. Esther Little, husband James, and family on the passing of Esther's uncle this past week, and we share that family and family circle of our prayers and sympathy at this time of loss. That's all by way of necessary announcements. We're turning again in our hymn book to the hymn number 368. 368. We don't take up an offering during the meeting, but do please remember the offering plates as you leave at the rear. And this is a wonderful hymn of thanksgiving. The hymn writer says, "For all the Lord has done for me, I never will cease to praise him. And for his grace, so rich and free, I never will cease to praise him." We'll keep our seats while we sing the early part of this hymn, 368.
Yeah.
standing to sing the final verse. Turn again, please, to those passages of Scripture that we read earlier. If you'd like to mark both those passages, Isaiah 53 and Nehemiah chapter 3. We'll be looking at both today. And with God's Word open before us, let us just unite, please, in a brief word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy presence. We thank Thee for the blessing of these old hymns of Zion, how they remind us of Thy goodness and Thy grace, and Thy mercy to us as the people of God. And Father, as we come now to Thy precious Word to consider it for a season, do speak from the printed page to our hearts today. Give us grace to hear Thy voice. Give us grace to understand Thy Word and to apply it in our lives and to obey it in our lives. Like the psalmist of old who could say, Thy Word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Use Thy Word today to the salvation of sinners in our gathering. Use Thy Word today to the edifying of the saints of God in our gathering. Lord, use Thy Word most importantly of all to the glory and to the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Abide with us to this end. Fill me afresh with Thy Holy Spirit. Give help, wisdom, grace, guidance in all that will be said and done. And have Thy way among us this day. We ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Our text for today is Nehemiah chapter 3 and the verse number 1. We will be looking at Isaiah 53 as well, but our text is the first verse of this chapter 3 of Nehemiah. It says, And Elishab the high priest rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate, they sanctified it, and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia, they sanctified it, unto the tower of Hananel. In Nehemiah chapter 3, Nehemiah records the names of those who were involved in the work of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. But along with this, he also mentions in the chapter 10 gates that were part of the walls of Jerusalem. In all, there were 12 gates along the walls of Jerusalem. There was 3 on the east side of the walls, 3 in the north side, 3 in the south side, and 3 on the west. And the other 2 gates not mentioned in this chapter before us today were the gate of Ephraim and the prison gate. And we read of them in Nehemiah chapter number 12. Now, all the gates that are mentioned here in Nehemiah chapter 3, as you read through the chapter, you will see that they have particular names. And their names are most significant because they are full of spiritual meaning. The Bible tells us that the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. And as the gates of Zion are important to God, then they are certainly worthy of our consideration. In our text here today in Nehemiah chapter 3 and verse 1, the verse speaks about the building, or if you like, the repairing of the sheep gate. It says, Then Elishab the high priest rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even unto the tower of Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of Hananel. This gate was located in the northeastern corner of Jerusalem's walls, and it was very near to the temple area. And now it was through this particular gate that the sheep were brought to be sacrificed upon the altar and the temple of worship. If you look at verse 1 of the chapter there, you see that twice over we are told that this gate was sanctified.
In other words, it was set apart for a particular purpose. It was dedicated to this matter of bringing the sheep through to the place of sacrifice in the temple itself. Now, whenever we think here of the sheep gate in this context, people, we are reminded of the great, indeed the only sacrifice for sin. And that sacrifice is that of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world when he suffered and bled and died upon the cross of Calvary. And people, this is the spiritual lesson for us to consider today as we would think upon the sheep gate. Yes, the sheep gate speaks to you and I about the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, upon the cross of Calvary. It's important to note that this chapter 3 here before us, it begins and ends with the mention of the sheep gate. We've mentioned made of the sheep gate here in verse number 1. Go down to the last verse of the chapter, verse number 32. Notice again its mention. It says, "And between the going out of the corner unto the sheep gate repaired the goldsmiths and the merchants." And in the gospel, this reminds us that the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who is the beginning and the ending of our salvation, the Alpha and the Omega of our salvation. As you and I today would think upon the sheep gate, there are a number of important lessons I want to set before you from it regarding the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. First of all, notice with me today the necessity of Christ's sacrifice upon the cross. Turn over there to Isaiah 53, that chapter we read earlier, and to the verse number 5, and you'll see that necessity of the sacrifice of Christ spelt out in that verse. For it says in verse 5 of Isaiah 53 regarding Christ, here Isaiah is speaking prophetically of Christ, and he says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." And here we see that Christ died upon the cross because it says in the verse, "of our transgressions." Also it says in the verse that he died upon the cross because of our iniquities. The Bible tells us Christ died for our sins. People, it was because of the awful problem of our sin that Christ came and that Christ died upon the cross. The hymn writer says, "It was my sin that held him there," speaking of Christ dying upon the cross. And through the fall of our first parents, you and I, we were born into this world with a sinful heart and a sinful nature. The Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world." Turn back a little bit in the Bible to Psalm number 51. Just back a little bit in your Bible to Psalm 51. Notice what David says about this very fact in his own life, and it is something that applies to us all. Psalm 51 and the verse number 5. He says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." David knew he came into this world a sinner by nature, a sinner by practice, and so it is with us all. And by our sinful nature means that every single one of us are guilty of sin, guilty of breaking the law of God in thought, in word, and in deed. You notice there what Isaiah says about this very fact in Isaiah 53 in the verse number 6. He says there, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." And our sin is something that robs us of fellowship with God, because God is holy. God will allow no sin into his presence, the Bible says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." Also, because of our sin by nature and practice, all of us are condemned. The Bible says condemned already. We are condemned to die because of our sin. The Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And after this, we are condemned to eternal punishment and hell for our sins. The Bible says, it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. And the judgment speaks of the wrath of God upon the sinner and a lost eternity in hell itself for their sin. That's the awful end and fruit of sin, men and women, young people in our meeting today. And people, this is why Christ came. This is why Christ had to come to this world and die upon the cross of Calvary. Yes, in love, God sent him into this world to die upon the cruel cross, a cross of terrible cruelty, ignominy, and shame. And he came to die upon the cross, what for? To redeem us, to save us from the awful ruin and plight of our sin. You notice in Isaiah 53 how Isaiah describes the Lord Jesus. You notice there what he says about him at the end of verse number 9 of Isaiah 53. He says of the Lord Jesus, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. And that speaks of the sinless, impeccable nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the sinless Son of God, he allowed himself to be taken by sinful man and to be crucified, to be nailed upon the cross. And as he died upon the cross, not only was he wounded by men, as they drove the spikes through his hands and feet and the spear in his side and the thorns in his brow, but also upon the cross, he allowed God the Father to pour out upon him the wrath of God that all God's people deserved for their sin. And that is why Christ cried out on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Look at how Isaiah speaks of this very solemn fact in the death of Christ in the chapter before us. Look at Isaiah 53 and the verse number 4. Notice what Isaiah says, yet we did esteem him. Notice it, stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was the smitten rock, so to speak. He was smitten of God on the cross. Go down to verse number 6. Notice again what you read at the end of that verse. It says, the Lord, that is God the Father, have laid on him, laid on Christ. Notice it, the iniquity of us all, bearing the wrath of God upon himself that we deserve for our sins. Go down to verse number 12 of the chapter. Notice what it says there of Christ in the middle of the verse. Because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many. He took upon himself the wrath of God, the hell that we deserve for our sins. He bore it all upon himself as he hung and suffered and bled and died upon the cross. And that is sufferings that no human being can ever enter into. The awful sufferings of Jesus Christ as our substitute upon the cross of Calvary. And friends, today it is by this one and only sacrifice for sin that Christ made, and he provided a way of salvation for us. Oh, dear child of God, in the meeting today, can I say this is what Christ has done? Done in love, done in grace, done in mercy. For you and for me, so that you and I could be saved from our sins. This is what Christ has done to redeem us from all our iniquity. The Bible speaks of Christ and says, this man offered himself one sacrifice for sin forever. What a sacrifice he offered up upon the cross. If you're in the meeting today and you're still unsaved, let me say this, let me be very clear. That if you are to experience God's salvation in your heart and in your soul, then as a repentant sinner, you must come by faith to Christ. Repentance means a confessing of your sin, a turning away from your sin, a change of mind, a change of heart regarding your sin. And it means as a repentant sinner, you must come by faith to Christ and confess your sin to him and trust in his redeeming blood that he shed upon the cross of Calvary to wash away your sins and to cleanse your soul from sin. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Friend in the meeting today, unsaved, young or old in this meeting, you need to put your faith, your trust in Christ and Christ alone, and call upon him for salvation. That is the only way to be saved. Yes, we see the necessity of Christ's sacrifice upon the cross. But notice, secondly, notice the blessings that flow from Christ's sacrifice upon the cross. You look again at what Isaiah says in Isaiah 53 and the latter part of verse number 5. He says, and with his stripes, notice those words, with his stripes we are healed. And those words speak of the great blessing there is for all who trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. There's a great transaction takes place in the life of that soul that trusts in Christ and looks to Christ for salvation. When you and I repent of our sins and confess our sins to God and trust Christ as Savior, what does God do? He pardons all our sins. In Isaiah 43, verse 25, he says these words. He says, I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy transgression for mine own name's sake and will not remember thy sins. Believer, this is God's promise to you today. And believer, remember this, that God cannot deny his word. That God is one who cannot lie. Speaking of this great blessing of the forgiveness of sins through faith in Christ, C.H. Spurgeon, the famous preacher of a bygone day, he said these words to his congregation. He says, you can have forgiven all your sins in half the tick of the clock and pass from death to life more swiftly than I can utter the words. Speaking of what takes place when a soul trusts Christ as Savior, God forgives their sins. And Christian, in the meeting today, this is something for you to rejoice in, that your sins are forgiven, pardoned through the blood of Christ. Enter the sea of God's forgetfulness and sea of God's forgiveness. Also, whenever you and I repent of our sin and trust Christ as Savior, we are adopted. The Bible says, adopted into God's family. Turning your Bible over to John's Gospel, chapter number 1. John's Gospel, chapter number 1. And go down there to verse number 12 of the chapter. And mark this verse, dear Christian, in your Bible. It will encourage your soul when you're attacked by the world and by the evil one, that you belong to God. It says in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, that is Christ, to them give he the power, that means the right or the authority, to become the sons of God. Who is it for? Even to them that believe on his name. Dear child of God and God's family, yes, you have the promise of grace. Grace to help you live the Christian life. Grace to say no to sin and to Satan's snares. Grace to serve the Lord wherever God's providence places you and wherever God in his will leads you and guides you as his child. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. Over in 2 Corinthians in the chapter number 9 and the verse number 8, we read these words. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. Believer, that's your promise today. That's part of your inheritance today as a child of God. Grace to serve the Lord. Grace to suffer for the Lord if needs be. Grace to do the will of God. Grace to turn away from sin and the pull of this evil and this ungodly world. Grace to live day by day in home, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, wherever you are, to live to the glory of God. Oh, dear Christian, today, wherever
God, whatever God calls you to do, indeed wherever he leads you, whatever providence comes your way in life, remember this, God's grace is sufficient. And then in God's family, dear believer, when you put God first and do his will, you can depend upon the provision of God in your life. The psalmist says, I have been young, now I am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. Also, you can depend upon the Lord to lead you and guide you along life's journey. The Lord says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. Also, you can depend upon the presence of the Lord with you day by day. He says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Dear believer, when you seek to obey the Lord, put him first and do his will in your life, you can depend upon his protection day by day. What was the great promise of the Lord to Abram of old? He says, fear not, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. What's a shield for protection, deliverance from the enemy, from the fiery darts of the evil one? Christian, when you step out for God, seek to do the will of God, put God first in your life and seek to obey the Lord, you can rest upon the Lord as your shield, your hiding place, your rock, your refuge, day by day. And then also, dear people of God, when you and I repent of our sins and trust Christ as Savior, we can look forward to heaven one day. We can rejoice that we've been delivered from the wrath to come and hell itself, and we can look forward to glory, to being with Christ in the precincts of heaven itself. Turn your Bible over to John's Gospel, chapter number 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14. Look at the opening words of this great chapter. The disciples were sad. They were downcast. They were despondent. The Savior was going to be parted from them. But he reminded them of their hope, the hope of heaven, the hope of glory. Maybe there's one in the meeting today, dear believer, your heart's sad, your heart is downcast, despondent. Maybe through the loss of a loved one or who have died in Christ or life's circumstances, remember this, dear Christian, your hope is heaven, your hope is glory. Look at John 14, verse 1, it says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And child of God, as you go through life, every day of your life, keep heaven before you. Remember the great hope you have as a Christian, a hope that has been purchased for you, that has been paid for you in full when Christ cried out on the cross, it is finished. And in heaven, the Bible shows us that there's no more sin. In heaven, there is no more death. There's no more separations, no more pain, no more sickness, no more night, no more darkness. The Bible says that in heaven, we shall be forever with the Lord, and God's people shall be forever like the Lord, made perfect in heaven. Our sanctification as the Christian will be perfect and complete. Remember what David said at the end of Psalm 17. He penned these words. He says, as for me, I will behold thy face and righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. He was looking forward to heaven, place of perfect satisfaction, the place of perfect likeness to Christ. And believer, that is your portion today in Christ. That is all bound up in these words of Isaiah, in Isaiah 53 in the verse number 5, when he speaks of Christ and says, and with his stripes, with the wounds of Christ, with the blood of Christ, with the sacrifice of Christ, were he pardoned for sin, grace to live the Christian life, adopted into God's family, and the certainty of heaven and a home and glory. Notice with me today one final thought. Notice the example that flows from Christ's sacrifice upon the cross. What is that example? Well,
Over in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21, Peter writes these words, speaking specifically to Christians. He says, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. And people, there's an example for us in the sacrifice of Christ. Yes, as believers, we can never ever atone for sin. That was unique for Christ and Christ alone. But by the sacrifice of Christ, there is an example for the believer, to the Christian, to the church of the firstborn. My, when we think of Christ's great sacrifice on the cross, the example for us as believers is this, that as Christians we should count no sacrifice too great for the Lord's cause, for the Lord's glory. You remember the words of C.T. Studd, that famous missionary of a bygone day to China and to Africa. He summed up that truth in these words. He said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. Think of those words, believer. No sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. Turn in your Bible over to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. Look at the opening verse of that chapter. Paul here is writing to Christians on account of Christ and the blessings of salvation to them through Christ's death upon the cross. And he's summing it all up. Coming, if you like, to the ultimate conclusion to God's people in the light of what Christ has done for them on the cross. And Romans 12, verse 1, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Oh, dear people, in light of all that Christ has done for us on the cross as believers, Paul tells us here that our reasonable service is that our life as Christians is to be a living sacrifice unto God. Our life as Christians is to be a holy sacrifice unto God. Our wills, our lives are to be yielded to God for him to use, for him to direct as he would see fit. Think of the words of the hymn writer. The hymn writer says, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. And there the believer was speaking of that surrender in their life to Christ. In light of what Christ had done for him, that's how it should be with you and I as Christians, whether we're saved recently or saved a long time. Think of the words of David of old. He said these words. He says, neither will I offer unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. David was one who gave sacrificially unto the Lord's cause and kingdom in his day and generation. That's how it is to be with you and I, dear people of God, in this life. Yes, we are to live holy lives. Says there that in Romans 12, verse 1. Lives that are separate from sin and the evil ways of this world. The Lord says, be ye holy, for I am holy. Day by day, we're to offer our life as a living sacrifice unto God. Believer, whatever the need is in God's work, wherever the need is in God's work, you and I are to do all we can to help. The Bible says we are to serve the Lord with gladness. Think of the mission soon to start this afternoon, dear people. Let us pray for this mission. It will come and go very quickly. Let us pray for it daily. Let us do all we can within our might and power to attend and support the meetings night by night. And let us do all we can to invite and to encourage and to bring others in unsaved under the sound of God's word. For dear people, it is often the case that when a mission comes in mercy to an area, after the mission then the messenger of death comes. How we need to do all we can to invite and to encourage others in under the sound of God's word. The motto of an old missionary society was that of an ox ready for service or for sacrifice. And that is how it must be with you and I as Christians, ready for service or ready for sacrifice. And remember this, dear Christian, you never lose out. No, you never lose out when you honor the Lord, when you step out in faith for God and obey the Lord and do the will of God in your life. You never lose out. Turning your Bible over to Mark's Gospel, chapter number 10. Mark's Gospel, chapter number 10. Look at the words of Christ here as he speaks about this very fact. Look at verse 29 and verse number 30 as he encourages his people to step out in a life of discipleship, following the Lord, serving the Lord. It says, and Jesus answered, verse 29 of Mark 10, and Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, there is no man that have left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. And there the Lord encourages you and I to be disciples for him. The believer never loses out. Who steps out for God, who obeys the Lord, who does the will of God, who puts the Lord first. Dear people, in our meeting this morning, as we think today of the sheep gate and the sacrifice of Christ that comes from being brought to our attention, the sheep gate, as we think of the sacrifice of Christ, believer today, thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for dying on the cross for you, and seek to live for his honor day by day and for his glory. Dear unsaved friend, as you think of the sacrifice of Christ in light of the sheep gate that we've mentioned today, friend unsaved, you need to come to Christ. You need to come now to Christ for salvation. Christ says, I am the door, by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. It's very interesting to note here as you read about the sheep gate in Nehemiah chapter 3, that there's no mention of the sheep gate being shut. There's no mention of the sheep gate being barred. And you know, in the gospel, that shows us that the way to salvation is still open. Friend unsaved, the way to God's salvation is still open for you today. And all you've got to do is to come as a repentant sinner to Christ. Acknowledge your need as a sinner. Cast yourself upon Christ. Confess your sin to him. Ask him to save you and to cleanse you from your sins by his precious blood. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, don't go away today without the Lord. Enter in through Christ into God's salvation and be saved forevermore. We're going to close our meeting today. We're singing together the hymn number 485 in your hymn book. 485. Give me a sight, O Savior, of thy wondrous love to me, of the love that brought thee down to earth to die on Calvary. 485, we'll stand as we sing. Let us stand as we sing.
God, we thank thee for thy presence. We thank thee for help in the ministry of thy word. Take thy truth and apply it to every heart and soul. Help us as thy people to live in the light of Calvary, to live in the light of the cross, of what Christ has done for us, what he means to us. Help us day by day to count no sacrifice too great for the sake of Christ and the gospel. And Lord, for any in our meeting today, Lord, not save, do speak to them. May they realize their great need of Christ as their Redeemer. May they come today and trust him, whom to know is life eternal. Take us to our homes in safety. Bless us throughout this day. Bless the meeting this afternoon as the mission commences. Pour out thy Spirit upon these weeks of gospel endeavor, and extend thy kingdom, we pray. Amen.